This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir la'in ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at the supplications of Al-Imam Ali ibn Hussein Zainul Abidin Salamullah alayhi, found in the book As-Sahifat As-Sajjadiyah, supplication number 8, verse number 1. And we are talking about the second vice that the Imam seeks refuge in Allah in, which is anger. We spoke so many times about what causes anger, because in order for us to fix anything, we need to know where is it coming from, what is making us angry, in order for us to fix it. Because we said anger itself is a moral vice that leads to so many sins. And we also said it could be good if it's used correctly in the right places, just to keep that in mind as well. Among the things that causes us to get angry, in fact, is the love for this world and greed. Greed and love for this world does amazing things to a person in terms of his morality, the destruction and the corruption of his morality. When a person is imprisoned to the materialistic world and he chains himself or herself in the chains of materialistic matter, then all the vices comes along. So حب الدنيا itself, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, رأس كل خطية. The love of this world is the head of every single sin. And we sin is only because we love this world too much. We have too much greed. We want to own and have so many things. And that leads us to us, you know, committing all sorts of sins, including anger itself. Isa alayhi salam, he says, or as we call him, Jesus Christ, as he's been called by the Christians, he says, when he talks about anger itself. And he says, وَشِدَّةِ الْحُرْسِ عَلَى فُضُولِ الْمَالِ وَالْجَهِ. A person gets angry because he has this extreme love towards love and towards position and wealth. Let us take a break and then we continue right after.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. Just before the break, we were narrating the hadith from the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, and he says the strength of greed and the love of wealth and position, it drives a person to get angry. And that's also an indication to see, am I among those who love this world so much? Am I among those who are greedy? Am I among those who love to have power and position or not? Because all of these are vices to a certain extent. Obviously, within limits, we have no issue. A person needs to be greedy in the sense that he needs to maintain and sustain himself, sure. When it comes to wealth, yes, a person needs money. When it comes to a person seeking position throughout work or whatever, sure, that's all good and well. But when it becomes the obsession itself, when wealth, position, and greed becomes an obsession, that's when it turns into a sin. And these three things will cause a person to get angry and become angry very quickly. So if we take a person and we try to dissect him when he gets angry, we have to put all these ahadith in our mind and see what is going wrong. Which of these does this person, or even me myself, when I get angry, which of these things are causing me to be angry, and I need to work on myself and try to fix it and rectify it and do a reform from my to my mentality and to my soul. Otherwise, God forbid, I could end up in a road where I don't want to be in. Let us take a short break and we'll continue right after, inshallah.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Now, up to here, we've mentioned many causes and effects of anger and what it could do to me, to you, and to the people that we love, and the people that are around us. So we need to seek solutions. We need to seek medication. We need to fix this problem. We need to diagnose this problem that we have, which is anger. So we said that when we looked at the roots of anger, we said it comes from many things, like jealousy, like hate, love for the world, love for position, ignorance, hastiness, giving a verdict very quickly, or making a passing a judgment very quickly, pride, thinking people are less than us, and so many of these things that we've looked at. These are all the roots of anger. So in order for us to eliminate anger from our system, these roots need to be also taken out. They need to be unrooted from our system, from our personality, from our mentality. As long as they remain, we are not going anywhere. So even though the Imam Salamullah Alayhi is talking about one specific vice, which is anger, but in reality he's trying to say to me, you need to decipher and break the code of anger itself, and you could eliminate so many sins in the process as well. So the Imam Salamullah Alayhi, in the first verse, he talked about greed and anger. These two things, if I could manage to work out my way into fixing them, into trying to cure myself from them, I will be ending up curing myself from so many other diseases that ignite and bring these vices to the outside. And you will see as we continue that most of the vices are actually connected to one another. So we need to unroot them from our system in order for us to have that clean, pure, immaculate heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me and you to return to Him with. Because Allah says in the Quran, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, except for those who come to Allah with an immaculate, clean, pure heart. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را, هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Here is some exciting news for our dinosaur enthusiasts. Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg, an embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66 million year old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals, and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most, but a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005. A tiny baby mouse deer takes its first steps into the world with a round body and spindly legs in a Polish zoo. It was born on December 2nd and now stands roughly 10 centimeters tall. The Warsaw Zoo got its first mouse deer last year and a second one last summer. Zoo staff are surprised that the pair of new arrivals have produced offspring so quickly. Mouse deer are among the smallest mammals. Even as adults, they only weigh around 2 kilograms. Contrary to their name, they are neither from mouse nor from deer species. Some mammalogists consider them living fossils because they haven't evolved much over millennia. Beachgoers in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro have been surprised by very rare visitors, a family of orcas. The family of three was seen swimming in shallow waters of a crowded beach south of the city. The group didn't seem to care at all about the presence of people on their paddleboards. Footage of the orcas quickly spread on social media because they don't usually come that close to the coast. A local biologist says the whales were likely to drawn. They were likely drawn to the area by a cold current from further south.
What we see in the video is a family group that has a male and a female who have a calf. It is common that the orcas come from a colder current where there is also a shoal, and they reach the south, the north in fact, and end up hitting our coast. Then they rest in warmer waters such as Copacabana Beach, Ipanema Beach, and Barra da Tijuca.
The biologist says the mammals pose no risk to humans despite the label killer whales. He says there is no record of their attacks on humans. Researchers suspect that the migration patterns of whales could be influenced by climate change and the resulting changes in water temperatures. Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff, looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiters is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders. Butterfly gardens are a place where you can watch these tiny creatures and marvel at their beauty. But have you ever wondered where these butterflies come from? These colorful creatures are in fact bred in butterfly farms. And Donald Orsay from Costa Rica is one of the biggest breeders, making that the mission of his life. He produces somewhere around 2,500 pupas per week. Orsay is one of the world's largest exporters of the popular Morpho species. Listen to him explain why he is fascinated by them.
A morpho has a great advantage. It is a butterfly that rarely stays still. unless it is very late, because when it is getting dark, it settles down, but normally it flies constantly. It flies by in the butterfly gardens.
Arsace butterflies have their own special diet. They feed on bananas and a concoction that he keeps its ingredients secret. Morphos are popular because of their color. They are shimmering blue on one side and brown on the other side. That's perfect for camouflage. Butterflies are really fun to watch, but they serve a critical purpose as well. They help plants reproduce by pollination, thus strengthening the ecosystem.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, "Grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one." Here, people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic Forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at the first of its kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit, dubbed Let's Fly, displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. The organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up the Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's while the official lighting ceremony was held inside the Paul VI Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the starling tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th. Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease. The Amazon River turtles are in danger of extinction, but environmentalists have come up with an initiative to save their lives, and that's by protecting their eggs. Climate change and human activities against their ecosystem have been putting these creatures at risk. Now, what the biologists and local volunteers do is that they recover the turtle nests from riverbanks during the rainy season to protect them from drowning. Then they take care of the baby turtles until they develop a hard shell and are ready to start their life journey. Batches of tiny turtles release into a river in the Amazon border between Bolivia and Brazil. They are now grown enough to protect themselves against different threats. Environmentalists have been doing this for more than 20 years, saving millions of baby turtles. This time they released 1 million of the little turtles. During the Christmas season, people around the world love to add a dose of joy in the form of Santas. Children especially feel ecstatic to see Santas distributing presents and snacks. But you'll be amazed to see how one Santa this time dives into water to give well-behaved sharks and fishes their goodies. In Malta's National Aquarium, Scuba Claus, helped by an elf, plunges into a huge fish tank with his sack of treats to feed sharks and fishes. Santas ho 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 come out in bubble from through his snorkel over his white beard. The aquarium, located in the northern part of the island, hosts more than 175 different species of various marine animals.
Almighty God also says that all the followers of the Bible come to us and let us talk about the issues that are common amongst us, and we are agree on these points. So Sayyid Mujtaba Musavi Lahri starts from this point.
This kind of decision that he makes puts him in a way that he starts writing some papers in a collection, and we may consider that book or the publication of that book as a kind of hope-giving.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in The Teacher.
What will we say in front of it?
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is The Teacher, a program on the life and works of the prominent Muslim Shia scholars, figures, and jurists all across the world of Islam. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahtabi and Sheikh Ziyaniya. Sheikh Mahtabi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Ziyaniya, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Today we want to continue our discussion regarding the life and works of Sayyid Mujtaba Musavi Lahri, one of the most outstanding contemporary figures whose works have been translated into more than 20 languages all across the world. He was famous for his methodology, or better to say method of preaching Islam in non-Muslim lands, and that's why his books attracted so many people. He was also very much concerned with the socio-cultural and political affairs of his society in Iran and also the world of Islam. That's why the main frameworks of his works are regarding Islam as a framework for life, is better to say. Regarding the works of Sayyid Mujtaba Musavi Lahri, they are really on different topics, but what is important is that his method of compiling these books must be the same, or it is the same. Sheikh Mahtabi, let's start with you, brother. Can you give us some details, or is better to say, enumerate some of the attributes of the method of Ayatollah Sayyid Mujtaba Musavi Lahri in compiling his books regarding Islam?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A very good question. When we want to know about his works, this is very beneficial to point out some factors, so which we can benefit from these factors if also we want to conduct works like his works to be famous and well-known worldwide. One of the factors that we mentioned in the previous session is that he had this look to put aside the differences and give our main focus on similarities and commonalities. If we are approaching non-Muslim community or if we are approaching different denomination within Islamic community. So this is very important factors that we can highlight throughout his works. Another factor is the fair look. This is also a very good point.
That's right.
When it reaches to Western culture, I want to point out this one. Why? Because one of his famous work that is well known by the elite worldwide is The Western Civilization Through Muslim Eyes.
That's right.
And this book mainly talks about the Western civilization and kind of criticism upon Western civilization. But when we see the book is fascinating to the point that Westerners, those who have no relationship with Islam, they are not Muslim, they are really interested in the book, that they seek permission from the author of the book that are we allowed to translate it into our mother language.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this is recorded in the history that Professor Golden, he he himself contacted late Sayyid Mujtaba Musavi Lahri and asked for permission, and he permitted him. And after that, one of his friend, the friend of Professor Golden in Germany, since he was also fascinated by the book, he said, also, I really like to translate it into German language.
That's right.
And also, Professor Khaled Kiba from Japan, he asked for permission. We see sometimes those who are involved in the publication of books, they know how difficult is the translation of the book and distribution of the book. It's really hard work to write your
book in a way that your audience, they themselves ask for translation of your book.
That's right.
So because of his fair look in this book, and he also mentions this point in the introduction of fourth edition of this book,
yes,
saying that I had a very fair look upon the Western civilization. I mentioned in my book that we are not going to deny and reject the blessing,
yes,
and happiness and welfare that Western civilization brought for the world.
Yes.
This is something good. We actually acknowledge this, but
yes,
we have to take into consideration that the mistake being done by Western civilization is to give focus on the material life.
Right.
So the only thing that are going to limit the life of a human being is to confine his life into the material life. So after this material life, there is no end, no goal.
That's right.
So the life is going to be pointless.
That's all right. This is really fascinating. As you said, in the Persian language, the title is Islam va simay tamaddun gharb, but the English title would be Western Civilization Through Muslim Eyes. They can find, the English translation of this book available and all the other works of Sayyid Mujtaba Mousavi Lahri on alislam.org. All of them are free to download. That's a really fascinating website for those who are interested in Shiite theology and history, and they can download for free the books and also the audios and the videos in English language regarding Shiite Islam. Okay, thank you much, Sheikh Mahtavi. Sheikh Ziyani, let's get to you, brother. Again, we get back to the main method of Sayyid Mujtaba Mousavi Lahri in compiling this book and the other books, because I think his method also can be seen, and traces of his method of research can be seen in his other works too. Explain a little bit more for us about this method.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Late Sayyid Mujtaba Mousavi Lahri was believing in that the problem of today's humanity is modern blasphemy and modern idol worshipping.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he tries to put the most emphasis in his works on Tawheed and the unity of God.
Yes.
So he tries to make people sensitive regarding this sense of worshipping that is in the essence of human being, in his nature and in his fitrat, that he wants to worship someone. So he believes that in modern age, human being is involved in blasphemous worships.
That's
and
right.
He is worshipping while he is thinking that I'm not worshipping anyone.
So you mean the modernity has made the humanity very much busy with the modern idols. These are not necessarily the idols of the past generation, but these are the new generation of the idols around.
Exactly.
Whatever makes the human busy.
Exactly.
Okay.
So he says that these, materialistic aspects of life,
yes,
or job or, different,
yes,
issues in modern life come to the point that they are like idols in his life. And we see some people that they are worshipping their job.
Mm-hmm.
They are worshipping their salary. They are worshipping their social position. So he says that, okay, if we want to get human being, freed from modern problems, we need to help him to get freed from this worshipping, and he is in need of a return to the worshipping of God, the exalted, that if human being returns to this point,
yes,
then he may, restart his life in a way that many problems that had been occurred in his life, in his modern life, would be solved in,
sure,
future.
I think when we take a look at this book and the other books that have been compiled by Sayyid Mujtaba Mousavi Lahri, we can understand that he is not talking directly to the Muslims only. He is talking to the humanity, al-insan,
yeah,
or the human beings in general. And that's why I make his books, very much interesting for the readers to read out. And then, at the end, he says, There are different theologies or schools of thought, and this is what Islam says. Yeah. And this Islam, I think the definition of Islam by Sayyid Mojtaba Mousavi Lahri is very much interesting. Islam, which is peaceful, which believes in a peaceful coexistence, which believes in the beauty of the life, and which believes in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is really beautiful. I mean, this Islam, I think the pure Muhammadan Islam that we are talking about, okay, on which we are talking about. This is the Islam that was meant by Sayyid Mojtaba Mousavi Lahri and interested so many people, so many people converted to the religion of Islam because of his books.
You know, this is exactly in accordance with this riwayat from Imam Ridha alayhi salam that لَوْ عَلَمَ النَّاسِ مَحَوْسِدْنَا كَلَامِنَا لَتَّبَعُونَا. If the people were knowing the beauties of our words, then they would follow us. Mm-hmm. So Sayyid Mojtaba Mousavi Lahri rahmatullah alayhi is trying to give the beauties of Islam without giving this sense of superiority to his audience.
That's
that
right.
I want to give a higher type of information to you. No. He says that there are different schools of thought. Now this one is a new one. You may think about it.
Yes.
And if you find it, you know, beautiful and nice, you may try to follow it.
That's all right. Okay, Sheikh Mahdavi, any other details can you give us about this Islam that he has pictured for us? I mean, in our minds, Sayyid Mojtaba Mousavi Lahri.
Definitely. What I'm going to add to what my brother said, that the way he was presenting Islam was so much interesting that we see that there were a kind of communication between him and a cardinal in the Vatican, that one of the friend of late Sayyid Mojtaba Mousavi Lahri, Dr. Philip Woolley, he quotes that one of the cardinals of Vatican has requested to have some copies of your book. Mm-hmm. And besides this, we have the Crown Prince of Great Britain, mm-hmm. Charles Wells.
Okay.
Also, he received some copies of his works and some copies of his books, and he really acknowledged and appreciated and asked his secretary to respond. Sayyid Mojtaba Mousavi Lahri.
That's right.
So these communication with these figures, which was not only limited to the category of elite of the society, it goes up to the level that politicians would make such communication with him, shows that he was truly preaching Islam in its real sense.
That's
not
right.
To put any kind of superiority
right.
color upon yes. that, which is not going to mm-hmm. tolerate it by okay. other people easily, specifically yes. those who have no faith yes. in Islam. So he was really the true preacher of Islam. May Allah bless him.
That's right. I think this broad-mindedness is also very important, because we have so many Muslim scholars, they are really full-scale, you know, scholars and ulama. But what is important is that some of their sayings or prescriptions or guidelines are very much limited to the very limited society they are living in. And I think this was not true about Sayyid Mojtaba Mousavi Lahri, because he considered Islam as a role model for the people all across the world, without forcing them to convert to the religion of Islam, okay? This is very important, because by introducing Islam, we don't want necessarily the people to convert to the religion of Islam, but we want to be more familiar with the Islam, with its framework, with its guidelines, who are the best role models in that, and what Islam truly says. Today's, and in today's world, with the power of the media, the people like Sayyid Mojtaba Mousavi Lahri and his framework of thought are really needed. Why? Because the media is showing a kind of violent, harsh, ISIS-like picture out of the religion of Islam to the Western world. And the beauties of Islam and the blessings of Islam are neglected. Sayyid Mojtaba Mousavi Lahri can be a nice example in order to tell the Western world that that is not Islam. What is shown to us is not Islam. The real Islam is this.
Even I want to mention this point, that his audiences are not limited only to elite people mm-hmm. or politicians, or his audiences are not only living in Western societies,
yes.
but also, for example, his book were transferred into the prisons in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And some prisoners studied this book, and when the government of that country faced with, you know, the big difference among prisoners, they asked the institution of Sayyid Lari in Qom to send them some more copies from this book, because they said that when the prisoners, they studied this book, they have, you know, notable changes in this in behavior. Their behavior.
That's right. Very good.
So, you know, his message is not only limited to Western culture, but also includes the people who are poor in their mind, and they feel that they have some kind of lack of, you know, God and the exalted power in their life.
That's all right. Okay, as I said in our previous discussion, God and His attributes, again translated by Hamed Elgar, Imamat and leadership, and knowing God, translated by F.J. Golding, are among the most outstanding works of Sayyid Mujtaba Mousavi Ellari. Thank you much, Sheikh Ziyania and Sheikh Mahtawi, for your presence in the program, The Teacher, talking about Sayyid Mujtaba Mousavi Ellari. May Allah bless his soul. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page, also a YouTube channel and Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Please stay tuned.
رسول خدا تو مسجد نشسته سلمان مقداد ابوذر صهیب
Once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam was sitting in the mosque accompanied by some of his companions like Bilal, Salman, Miqdad, Abuzar and Suhail. As you might know, most of these companions of the Prophet were not rich and not from among the Arab tribes. Bilal was from Abyssinia, Salman was from Persia, and Suhail was from Rome.
یکی از این افراد مقرور از در وارد شد ثروتمند نژاد عربی اصل
When talking, an Arab rich aristocrat entered the mosque and saw the Prophet sitting with these people. Since he was rich and related to a famous Arab tribe, he told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, "Who are these people you're sitting with? Let them out of the mosque and sit with us so that we give you money and food." This was the time when Ayah 28 of Surah Kahf was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, stating, "Content yourself with company of those who supplicate their Lord morning and evening, desiring His face, and do not lose sight of them, desiring the glitter of the life of this world." Upon hearing this ayah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam prostrated to Allah and became sure about his sitting with his companions. Therefore, having a humiliating look at others is absolutely condemned in Islam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.
Back to reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality. I'm in the studio here today. I'm Muzaffar Haider. Can we have a short introduction from both of you? Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Mahdi, and I've been a student of Hausa for the past 7 years. Let's keep it that short.
Mashallah, 7 years. It's going to be 10 soon, inshallah. Brother Mahdi, welcome to the show. And yourself.
My name is Abdullah Al-Musawi.
also a student of the Hausa.
Uh-huh. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
And where are you from?
Australia.
Melbourne.
Sheikh Mehdi, I'd like to ask you this question first, and don't be surprised at the question. It might throw you back a little bit, but how long do you want to live? If Allah gave you the choice, how long would you want to live?
Well, that's a very difficult question.
Sayyid Abdullah, what about you?
Forever.
Forever?
Human beings, as human beings, we have two things, two initial desires that we always want to have. To live longer and be richer, mm-hmm. right? This, even in the ayat and the ruwayat, it talks about man saying having tulul amal, like having too much hope and wanting to be rich. So this is, I think, the two desires of mankind, mm-hmm. to live forever and to be rich. Is it sustainable? Is it attainable? That's another question. So if I had to dig in deep into myself and be honest, I want to live forever.
That was
because we were created to live forever, mind you.
We were. Yeah. That was a really surprising answer, to be honest.
I always think that what more from this world do I want? Mm-hmm. Family, I have it. Children, I have it. A shelter above my head, alhamdulillah, I have it. A good car that I can drive, I have it. A job, I have it. What is the end of it? Sometimes you get tired. Mm-hmm. You get fed up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What my only motivation, this might turn into being so slogan-y and epic, but my only motivation and hope is to be alive as long as I can see my amount of time. Mm-hmm. I can see a world of free of oppression. I mm-hmm. can see the beauty of justice being prevailed in the world.
But I mean, in this case, I'll just read dua al-ad for 40 days, 40 mornings. That's what the hadith says. Mm-hmm. You'll come back.
Yeah, you'll come back. Yeah. I mean, it was
you can go rest, come back.
But it was in the will of Shaheed Hujaji, actually. You know, one of the beautiful things I've heard he said is that I wish to be Shaheed twice, once before the Dhuhr of Imam Zaman and once after the Dhuhr of Imam Zaman.
But I think the Akhirah, that's what I personally believe. I think the hereafter is so much more beautiful than this dunya that I have the desire. The deceased scholar, Ali Safawi Ha'iri, one of the scholars in this holy city of Qom, he says, I am so enthusiastic to experience death. It's as if a Hausa student is waiting in the road from Tehran to Qom, waiting for a bus to have an extra seat available for that person and take him to the Qom.
So I think you're looking at it from a spiritual aspect.
Well, I mean, look at the people who are
because,
having...
Because, you know, if this is where we're going, right? I mean, the hadith says, Adunya Sijnul Mu'min is the imprisonment of a Mu'min.
And then Adunya Sijnul Mu'min? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I want to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as soon as I can. So I don't want to live any longer.
Have you talked to people who have had near-death experiences?
Yeah, of course, this beautiful show they have on TV. What is it called in Farsi?
Life After Life.
Life After Life?
But no, I'm not talking about that show. But like, have you personally talked to people who have experienced, like those who have gone through?
I have, I have.
I've talked to many of them. This is the common thing with many of them.
They all want to go.
They say this world is not as meaningful as it used to be.
Allah says that. I mean, I don't need people to tell me that.
إِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ.
The
actual life is over there. We do not believe in it.
Yeah.
Even though we've heard it, but it hasn't entered our hearts yet.
Now, that's what I'm saying. You're looking at it from a moral, spiritual, Islamic sense. If we're talking about it from a realistic sense, though.
Well,
I couldn't be a mystic.
It's a personal opinion, though. How much do I want to live? I'm tired of the life of this dunya.
Yeah, I'm not tired.
So there's a hadith, actually.
It's because you're not married.
hold on. So it's your wife.
But I mean, it's just the joys of this world.
You said it. There you go.
The joys of this world, at some point, I mean, there is a point in life that you feel that this world is so empty.
True.
The life of this dunya is so empty. Like reaching the certain worldly dreams will not make you happy anymore.
See, the money does not make you happy 100%.
And I believe that many people reach that point in the life of the dunya. Yeah. If you're awake, if you are, you know, looking at the reality of this world, the only hope that I have is the reappearance and hastening in the reappearance of...
So basically, you as a person, you don't want to live long.
You don't want to live long, yeah.
But a lot of people do. That's why science is working day and night to...
Prolong life. I mean, there's lots of... There's so much discussion in science fiction movies, for example.
No, actually, they made this... Like, I think in 2018...
I didn't mean that I didn't love the life of this... I love the life of this dunya. Mm. I love being able